a free sub to give away.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep.
You know, I really like this opening theme
just
song.
Direct your feet.
Yeah.
Marlon Brando.
To really?
Yeah. Before he died, he had caught the show. And he actually sang along with this
and
for me.
Happy
I'll play it for you.
Life can be
life could
so,
be so sweet,
sweet
on a sunny side of the street. You know, I used to walk in the shade.
With those blues.
I had the blues on parade. I was waiting for somebody to invite me over for a cup of coffee.
And
everybody said, "Are you afraid?" I said, "No, I'll tell you why. This will
be over." Don't worry, folks. This show will be over before you know it.
I don't know who that little brat was, but I'd like to continue singing now, but could I be rich? Few people have heard, I might interrupt and say, few people have heard Marlon Brando sing. On the sunny side of the street. He couldn't carry a tune.
No.
As you can hear.
Boy,
I miss that guy. I miss him so much.
Yes.
Yeah. You too, Dan?
Oh, I do too, yes.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on this, the third day of November. Another November day. Gotcha. See, don't ever try to anticipate me.
Yeah.
Don't try to predict me. You know that song, Unpredictable?
Yeah, right.
That's what you are. Well, that's me. And don't email me and go, it's unforgettable. I know it's unforgettable, okay? It's a joke. That's what happens, though. If we don't say, don't email, then they'll email and go, oh, Frank, you were mistaken. That song was unforgettable. It was recorded by Nat King Cole and then with his daughter, Natalie Cole. Yeah, I know that. And what do you think, we're stupid? No. Far from it. This is a room filled with three of the brightest people. Probably in the radio business right here.
Absolutely.
Don't you forget it.
Darn tootin'.
That's right, Dan. Darn tootin'. Anybody have anything to say? Oh, can I, before we do that, yesterday fog was in the weather, and it's in the weather now. Lots of fog. And I said the fog comes in on little cat's feet, and you two morons didn't know what I was talking about.
No, we didn't.
Finally, somebody said Carl Sandburg. I believe Carl Sandburg is considered to be a fairly credible writer in the world of literature. What always amazes me is not just this, but like Maya Angelou, and we've talked about this before, some of the things they did I could have done in the fifth grade. I'm going to read you the poem. Fog. It's just called Fog. It's short. Fog by Carl Sandburg. Bruce, could you give me this little piano music while I do this, please? Please? Pretty please? Double please? Thank you.
Here it is.
This is the actual poem, Fog, by Carl Sandburg. The fog comes in on the little... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay, start over, Bruce. I'm sorry, start over. The fog... start over, I didn't give the title. Start
what?
Over. I forgot to give the title. Start over. Fog by Carl Sandburg. The fog comes on little cat feet. It sits looking over harbor and city on silent haunches and then moves on. That's it.
I'm not kidding.
That's it. Now, could we have written this?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do one right now. Keep playing, Bruce. Here, I'll make this up on the fly, and it's as good as this one. Rain by Frank Opinion. The rain comes on little wet feet. It jumps down from the clouds to the earth. We are moistened. We are happy. It is rain. Thank you.
Wow.
And now, keep playing, Bruce. I'd like to do another one I'm making it up as I do it, called Snow. Snow by Frank Opinion. The snow doesn't just fall. It floats to the ground, like the whitest of all fairies. Snow is pretty, snow is white. Can come in the day, can come in the night. When it comes, we don't care or know. All we know is we like snow.
And that actually had rhyming in it, unlike the fog, cat-seed fog thing, which had not one rhyme. See, to me, thank you, Bruce. A poem should have rhyming in it, to me.
When somebody says poem, don't you think, if somebody says poem, don't you think,
oh, yeah.
Mary Little Lamb, Fleece, Whitey Snow, Mary Little Lamb, Surely Go. You know, that kind of thing. I don't get these poems that are like the Maya Angelou stuff where they say, now a poem of Maya Angelou.
I think the true poet people, though,
well, the purists
appreciate poems that don't rhyme.
But that shouldn't be called
poem. That's like child's play.
That should be called something else. It shouldn't be a poem.
I've never understood what...
I have one.
You do?
Yeah.
Did you just make it up?
Yeah, I did.
Bruce, could you give Dan some of that music? Thank you.
This is all weather related, I think, since it's the fog and everything. I wrote one about hail.
Hail. Here we go.
Hail, falling from the sky. Look out. If it's big like a bowling ball, it can kill you. Hail.
See, that's not good.
That's not good.
Mine were good. That's not good. That's not good. Because that's depressing and it has killing in it.
Oh.
See?
Okay.
Mine and Carl Sandburg, our poetry, doesn't have killing in it.
Oh.
You get it? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See the difference?
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to try something else then.
Well, I'll do one now. Keep playing, Bruce. Here, I'll make up one. I'll give you another example. Wind. Wind is something you can't see. It's something that swirls and whirls. Something that flies. Something that's silent. Something that's quiet until it's strong and then it's loud. Wind is...
is the required monthly test of the emergency alert system. This station serves the bi-state St. Louis operational area.
Anybody have anything to say?
Do not.
I don't.
Dan, I hope you don't have your feelings hurt, but you can't include violence or death or killing
in
this genre
I don't.
Of poetry.
I don't have my feelings
usually
hurt.
Usually pretty poems don't involve bowling ball.
No.
Yeah. Hey, what's that poem? I should know the author. I think that I shall never see something. A poem as pretty as a tree for... Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Something like that.
Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, yeah.
I think that I shall never see
Trees
a...
Trees by Joyce Kilmer.
Yes, Joyce Kilmer. Would
you play from beyond while he reads this?
Right, read us that. That's a good one.
I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast.
That's dirty.
Whoa.
What?
That's dirty.
A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Upon whose bosom snow has lain.
There's bosom again, breast and bosom.
Who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me.
But only God can make a tree. I remember that.
Well read, Peon. Very well read.
Thank you.
Wow, there was a lot of bosom and breast in there.
You know, the only one who hasn't stepped up to do an impromptu, on-the-fly piece of poetry is Peon.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear an original? Something.
Yeah. We did wind, rain, snow, hail, fog. How about what's left?
Tornadoes?
No, that's not the same.
Yeah.
How about...
Give me a minute.
How about sleet?
Ooh, sleet's a good
sleet
one.
Prone. All right.
Or how about just cold?
Slippery.
Cold. Yeah. Go with cold.
Give me a minute here.
No, we didn't take a minute.
But yeah, Dan, you did. You both had time to write it down.
We didn't write anything. We didn't write a single word down.
I saw him.
I wrote some stuff down.
I didn't write anything.
I wrote some notes.
But he wrote it instantly. He was like, boom, instantaneously came up with it.
Cold. What'd you say? Cold.
Cold.
You want to do cold?
Yeah.
All
right. All right, Bruce has to stop the music and start it over, Bruce. Tell us when you're ready.
Cold by Ian Geis. In wintertime, the skies grow cold. It's like the seasons are getting old. The trees, their leaves, they fall to the ground. Not unlike a person who dies.
That's horrible.
The crowd liked it.
Not unlike a person who dies.
Wow.
It's a little dark.
It's kind of dark.
Cold weather is kind of depressing.
Well,
and dark.
It is. I agree. I couldn't agree more. Peon, did you have anything for the Burke segment?
I did not.
All right. Well, then we'll have to close it because we didn't open it. There is no Burke segment. I want to thank the police officer who sent me. You know, what's interesting is the little speech I had yesterday about Jared Fogle and all the other despicable pedophiles. People do not like to talk about that. I didn't get one single email from anybody about that because it's, nobody wants to talk about it. But I did get a couple, not from listeners, except, you know, this is a listener, it's a cop. And he essentially said, everything that I said was exactly dead on when describing a potential pedophile. He said he's going to send me, it's a list of what pedophiles look for, and it was put together by a convicted pedophile. And he said, the police use this. He said, he'll send it to me. I can't wait. I'll share it with you when I get it. Now, as you know, Fred Thompson passed away, and a few years ago he ran for president. He didn't get very far, but he did run for president, and there was an issue with... even then, his age. Now, he was only 73 when he died a couple of days ago. And what is Hillary? How old is she? 60, what? 60-something?
Let me see. 68.
Woo. Here's the reason I mention this. In the history of the presidency, only two people have been sworn in who were 67 or older. Only two. Only two. And Reagan was one, and I think William Henry Harrison, I think, was the other one. The average age of, if you take all the presidents, something like 52. There were people sworn in, Kennedy at 40, whatever. And I found some, I just found, since the media has decided to make us feel like the election is 60 days from now, because that's what you'd think if you listen to the news. Oh, my goodness, the election's right around the corner. It's a year away. It's a year away. But I found some interesting statistics for the people who are concerned about Bernie Sanders, who's 73, Hillary, who's 60. Hillary, is she 68 now?
Yes.
Well, she'll tie Reagan for the oldest person ever to be sworn in because he was 69 when he was sworn in.
Hey, shut that up right now. Leave the room.
The reason this is kind of interesting is, as you know, about 100 years ago, the average life expectancy for a man was about 40, or early 40s at best. Herbert Hoover lived to be 90 years of age. James Madison, and you're going way back, 85. He died at 85. Now, this is when people died at 45 right. or 40. Thomas Jefferson was 83 when he died. He must have lost all his friends 40 years before he died. 83. Who do you think And they're like 3 weeks apart are the two presidents who lived to be the oldest. And I'm not going to say any more, but they're almost tied. One died 3 weeks before the other one, meaning 3 weeks later he would have reached the same age. Who do you think was the first? Let's go with the very oldest president, the president who lived the longest. Who do you think it was?
Oh, wow.
Who was the oldest when he died? And, of course, that record could be broken because George H.W. Bush is still around. And so is Jimmy Carter.
Right.
He's still around. So they could break this record. But what
is Carter 90 yet?
Carter is, I think, about 90.
If Jimmy Carter's 90. I just saw him on.
91.
And H.W. is about 91.
Yeah, I'll say Gerald Ford.
Dan, you're absolutely right.
Gerald Ford
was 93. Ronald Reagan was 93, like 3 weeks younger.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And next is tied as John Adams and Herbert Hoover. And again, John Adams, this guy, this was when people died at 40.
Yeah.
And he was 90 when he died. Herbert Hoover, 90. Then George H.W. Bush, then Jimmy Carter, and then Harry Truman, 88. James Madison, 85, not to be confused with James Mason, an old-time actor. Well, this is Jim's Mason. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thomas Jefferson, 83. Now, what do you think of all the presidents? You take them all and you come up with an average of how long they lived. The average life expectancy based on the average of when they all died. You've got the high end of 93. You have some that died much, much sooner. What do you think the average is? Now, this would be good to know for people thinking about, well, who do we elect? Well, let's see what the average life expectancy is.
I would say 85.
I'll say 74.
73.
Wow.
The average is 73.
Wow.
And only two presidents have ever been elected who were over 66, and that's Reagan and William Henry Harrison. Now, since the media has decided to make us think we're practically there, let's just throw out, and I found a great site with some really interesting stuff. Just trivial stuff about presidents. I think you'll enjoy it. Abraham Lincoln, all right? Was the only president who was a licensed bartender. Peon, you used to be a bartender.
Yes.
He was the co-owner of Barry and Lincoln, which was a saloon in Springfield, Illinois. And I haven't been to Springfield, Illinois to look at all the Lincoln stuff, but I'm sure they'll go, here was the saloon that Lincoln and his partner owned. Now, there's one president who joined the KKK. And it was Harry Truman. KKK was a very powerful political force, and he was urged to join it. Now, to his credit, he was never an active member. He paid a $10 membership fee and then later demanded it back and was never inducted or initiated. So you got to think that after he was told by advisors to do it, he thought, no, I'm not. And you know, to his credit, he kind of took it back, I guess you could say.
Oh, that's what's going on right now. Did you hear about that whole scandal where supposedly these names were leaked of members of the KKK? And it turns out to be not true because it looks like somebody now has claimed that they've released all these emails, but it apparently had just one person had a vendetta and signed up to the KKK with these, I think it was four senators or whatever's email addresses. And
let me ask you a question. With all, as easy as it is to do everything else, steal somebody's identity, credit card, fake driver's license, why isn't it, and why wouldn't it be, and maybe it is possible, to fabricate an email? Say, look, here's an email. It's from so-and-so, and everything about it looks like, yeah, they wrote this email. Well, you can do that.
I guess the technical people, though, can get into the server from where it was sent from, and I think it's a lot tougher.
And determine, because we've never seen that yet. That's one thing we've never seen happen, is an email that was bogus and couldn't be proven otherwise.
Right.
All right.
Harry. All right, now I hate to interrupt you here real quick, but yeah. I've just been informed that during your win poem, apparently we were in an EAS test.
What?
Was sent. And so your wind poem got interrupted. So
yeah, a lot of people.
People are clamoring to...
Well, I can't read it because it was off the cuff. See, right. It was a spontaneous... I could do another one.
All right.
All right. Bruce, could you give me piano music?
You have to kind of end it like it.
I'll end it. I remember okay. How I ended it.
All right.
Wind. By Frank O'Pinion. Wind comes in. Sometimes it's subtle. Other times its presence is strong and clear. Because wind itself is clear. You don't see wind. You can feel wind. You can hear wind. Wind is of it whatever you make. And it only stinks when it you break.
I think that was a much better one.
That was better.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it says the more you do it, the, kind of, you know, the better you get. Yeah. You kind of you cultivate
it. I thought I was going to go, wind. Sometimes it's soft and subtle. Sometimes it comes from your butt like a bubble.
See, what you just did is tasteless. That's not art. Yours is not. Mine was art.
Right. Mine's that kitty rhyming.
Yours is childish. Poetry. Yeah, that's got fifth grader.
Well, he's
mine
got
had a Carl Sandburg feel to it.
He has Archie. He has to tell Archie bedtime stories and things
like
that.
Well, I have had kids and I have a grandson, but I don't lower myself when I'm trying to do legitimate poetry to that kind of crap.
All right, Archie, time to go to bed.
Yeah.
Tell me that butt bubble poem.
Give me that windbreaker stuff. All right, boys, as we continue to try to become smarter about the... Thank you, Bruce. We're done. We're finished. Yeah.
Can we just keep that back? I like that piano. Just the whole show, maybe. Keeping that in the back.
All right, go ahead.
He wants you to keep playing.
Okay. He'll play as long as you want him to. He loves to play.
Relaxing.
Harry S. Truman. What was the S for?
Stanley.
Samuel.
The S was for nothing. In fact, there's no period. If you if you print his name properly, it's Harry S. Truman. There's no period. The S is just S. Ha ha!
Wow.
How many people didn't know that, and how smart will you now appear when you go to the holiday cocktail parties? Let me see. I'm just picking through the ones I think are... Okay, I think a lot of people know this. The teddy bear is actually named for Teddy Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, because... there was a point at one time, and there were witnesses, he refused to shoot a small bear cub. And it made the news. It was in a couple of papers. And a very bright toy manufacturer came out with some stuffed animals and called them the Teddy Bear because he didn't shoot that little bear. The first president to ever talk on the telephone. This is a good one. Who do you think it was?
That would be...
Wow.
They documented for history not only who he spoke with, but exactly what he said. Who was that president who was the first to talk on the phone?
Taft.
That's a good answer, but it's wrong. James Garfield. I might mention, isn't it funny? You never hear one thing about, and it was President Garfield who, you know, there's a couple of Fillmore, Millard. You never hear one thing about him. It's like they weren't really president.
Yeah.
James Garfield. And the person he spoke to, who was on the other end of the phone 13 miles away, was none other than Alexander Graham Bell.
Wow.
And here are the words that James Garfield spoke on the phone, and this makes perfect sense. He said, "Please speak a little more slowly," because I would imagine it was garbled and hard to understand. The 29th president... Warren Harding. Now, there's another guy.
Yeah, Harding. You don't hear
anything about him. He never comes
up.
Yeah, remember, it was President Harding. Nah, you never hear anything. But here's something that's true. He repeatedly made love to a young girl named Nan Britton in a White House closet. And on one occasion, Secret Service agent had to hold his wife back. She was trying to beat down the closet door. That could have been Jackie and John.
Wow, while he was in there doing it?
Yeah, and she tried to knock the door down, and the agents had to subdue her.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. There's a president who's given credit for the words or letters okay, meaning, hey, that's okay. It was Martin Van Buren. Another president you never hear one thing about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the great presidents was that Van Buren.
He was the 8th president.
He was?
Yes. You know I know that? From Seinfeld, because the Van Buren boys, their sign was holding up
By the way, you
fingers.
Know there are people who just got in the car and tuned in and said, is there piano music?
Yeah. Keep going, Bruce. Let's see how
been
long
listening
you can play.
Earlier.
Yeah, that'd teach you to listen to the beginning of the show. You're probably right, Ace, but he was known as Old Kinderhook because he was raised in Kinderhook, New York. So OK clubs were created to support his campaign, and he's credited with the Hey, OK. Oh. The only president to be elected to 2 non-consecutive terms. Now, there was one president who was elected, then he lost an election, then he came back, because you can serve twice, but he didn't serve them back-to-back.
Oh.
Who was it?
Ooh.
Grover Cleveland.
Wow.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't know this, but Grover Cleveland's great-great-great-grandfather founded an Ohio town, Akron, Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah, you knew that was coming. You could see that coming a mile away.
They founded Bill on the Road.
No, it's Cleveland.
Oh.
Let's see here. Six presidents were named James. Go ahead, give them to me.
James... Wait, is it James Garfield?
That's one.
James Carter.
Madison.
James Carter, that's two. Madison's three. I need three more.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Cagney.
No, James Cagney. Yeah.
No, Monroe, Polk, and Buchanan. Okay, another. There's so many presidents.
Buchanan.
Yeah, there's another one. President Buchanan. I never ever hear anybody, when they're just talking about the country, bring up, yeah, that President Buchanan. It's kind of like, unless you see the list, you forget these people were actually president.
And Polk. You don't hear anybody talking about him.
You don't hear anything about him except that salad, Polk salad.
Yeah.
Now, there was one president who served in both World War II and World War I. This is easy. Easy. Just think of the timeline. He was an active military in both World War I and World War II.
Eisenhower?
Dwight David Eisenhower.
Oh.
Only two presidents. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. The first president to visit all 50 states and the first to visit China. Which president? He was the first one to visit all 50 states while he was president and China. That's easy. Nice. I'm not a Richard Milhouse. I'm not
really?
A punk. Richard Nixon.
He was the first one to visit China?
Yes, and last but not least, and we'll get to the others. There's a lot of good stuff here. First president born in a hospital.
Oh, I've heard this so many times. I've heard this
I know. I've heard it,
before.
Too. And if for some reason it stuck, and I remembered this one.
Here's was it Reagan?
Here's a hint. This is more than a hint. Jimmy Carter?
Oh, Jimmy Carter. That's right.
You know, I interviewed him about this. You want to hear a little of it?
You
yeah.
did?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Here, I'll play you a little of it. I'm kind of in the background because he's got the microphone.
Okay.
Here, I'll play it here, right here.
Mr. President, you're the only president to be born in a hospital. I don't know, do you feel somehow special because of that?
I don't feel special in any sense of the word because it's just the way things worked out. I was born in a hospital because I... just happened to be, I guess, the luck of the draw. Could have been any president. Doesn't make it better or worse than anybody else.
Wow.
A really realistic outlook on it.
So is he still the only president born in the hospital? Like,
no, Dan. He was the first.
Oh, the first.
To be
said.
Born
I
in
thought
the
you
hospital.
Said the only.
No, heck no.
I was going to say, wait, what happened to Barack Obama?
I believe Clinton was probably born in a, and Bush were born in hospitals.
Yeah.
Now, I said last, but I lied. One more. The first known president to go on record and state, for the record, that he saw a UFO.
Oh,
here's
heard,
another, here's a hint.
I've heard this, too.
Jimmy Carter.
Hey, I talked to him about it.
Really?
You did?
Yeah, here, I'll play you a little of
it. Wow.
Mr. President, you have said, and it's not something you've denied, or it's not just rumor, you've said that you saw, you didn't think you saw, you saw a UFO. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, Frank, I'd be happy to elaborate on it. I was, as you know, I'm an outdoorsman. My family, we raise peanuts. And I was, I remember like it was yesterday, I was outdoors, and I looked up and I saw, you know, just what you always hear about, an oval sort of a disc, and it was undoubtedly a UFO. And the reason I know this is because as president, I was able to contact, I'm elderly, the Air Force and other authorities, and they had told me confidentially that there was no known military aircraft in the area, so it was a UFO.
Wow, wow. That's the first time you've actually heard, as Paul Harris says, the rest of the story. Okay, more of that really interesting stuff later as we get so close. Oh, wait, we're a year away. I'm sorry. I keep watching the news thinking the election is next week or something. I'm thank Bruce. Well, you keep playing through Johnny Lana. And now, what makes everything so peaceful and relaxing?
It does. Puts
you at ease. So I'll do it in a peaceful way. You know, when you're looking for a vehicle, it can be stressful. Why don't you let Johnny Londoff take the stress out of it, much like a good piano piece takes the stress out of anything. As Bruce Limprist plays in the background, let me just remind you that buying a vehicle, pre-owned or new Chevy, does not have to be stressful. It can be as comfortable and relaxing as the piano music you're listening to now, because they take the hassle out of it, they take the pressure out of it, and it's kind of like just being with an old friend. Even if you've never been there before, you feel like, wait, I feel like I've been here before, like I'm part of this family, because that's the way they want you to feel. It's not the typical dealership where if you said, oh, I'd sure like to meet the owner, and they make up, oh, the owner's out of town, and every time you ask to meet the owner, it's funny, he's always out of town or indisposed or tied up. No, he doesn't want to meet you. These other they don't want to meet you. A lot of these dealers whose names are on the dealership, they don't want to meet you. You're nothing to them. You're another sale. Go get another one. We got this one. Go get another. Not at Johnny Londoff. You'll see. You'll see. But the only way you'll see that what I'm saying is true is if you... And I'm not even going to say if you purchase. I'm going to say if you shop there. I would never tell you where to buy. I would just ask you to give them a shot at your business. Now, the piece that Bruce Limprist is playing in the background was written by Bruce just for this commercial.
Mm. Really?
It's called The Car. When buying a car. Well, I'm not going to sing it all to you now, but it's called The Car. And it's the perfect piece to just convey to you the wonderful experience you'll have when you buy a vehicle from Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, and I know because I've bought several there. So join us, all of us who've had that, well, who've experienced that Londoff love, he likes to call it. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, or 24/7 at Londoff.com. And I'd last ask Bruce now, as we make our way into commercial break. Bruce, just bring it on home for us, would you? Thank you, Bruce.
I think Bruce should keep playing.
So beautiful. Through the whole show?
For traffic, since it's called Car.
Yeah, through the whole show.
Have Tim Weiland do some traffic.
This would be like a Guinness Book of World Records thing. How the guy that played the most piano through any radio show. Yeah.
Pull the traffic music down and just let Tim Weiland do the...
We don't need traffic. We don't need no stinking traffic music.
No.
Yeah.
Good afternoon to you, Tim Weiland. How are you?
Well, good afternoon, Dan. And it looks like slow traffic on Highway 64.
Well, I'm telling you right now, this puts a whole different spin on a hectic rush hour.
Yeah, no kidding.
We may be on to something.
No more road rage?
Everybody's relaxed.
Either that or there's no road rage.
I was going to kill that guy who cut me off, and then I turned on the radio, and I heard this music.
Or there's going to be a bunch of accidents because everybody falls asleep at the wheel.
There you go. Yeah, eastbound 64, that's running pretty slow past Scott Air Force Base between Route 50 or Highway 50 and Route 4. And we just have the volume that's building now, and that goes from Doherty, Highway 40 down through Doherty Ferry on southbound 270 in this traffic report. is brought to you by Penn Station East Coast Subs. Premium fried bologna, rich American cheese, grilled and baked to perfection, topped with pickles, a fried bologna sub worth the Penn Station name. Get yours today. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Premier Heating and Cooling. For all your heating and cooling needs, call Premier at 636-916-1122 or on the web at premierheatingcooling.net.
Did you get up this morning, raring to hit the streets in your sales job, ready to press the flesh, make some deals, make customers happy, for an employer who doesn't appreciate your efforts? Or are you stuck in a dead-end job, day after day, lamenting that there's no way to improve your future, while your employer tells you, cheer up, you're lucky to have a job, at least until the end of the week? What you need is the right opportunity. That, my friend, is the sound of opportunity knocking. Why, look, it's the Big 550, looking for sales professionals to develop and sell advertising and marketing campaigns to new and existing clients. The ideal candidate will be someone who can develop new client relationships through cold calling, networking, referrals from existing clients, have an innovative approach to client development, and be a team player. If interested, call 314-453-5500 or email us at employment@ktrs.com. If you're ready to set the world on fire, here's your match.
Do you have at least 5 years of experience in installing gutters? I know that's not a question you get asked often. Hi, this is Steve Mace with Aladdin Insulation, and we're in need of experienced gutter installers. Aladdin Insulation is a company with a 65-year-old track record. We offer competitive pay and benefits along with year-round work. Aladdin Insulation installs gutters for residential customers and light commercial buildings. We require a drug, MVR, and background checks. A company vehicle will be provided along with necessary machinery. If you want to find out what Aladdin can offer you in the way of quality employment, call me, Steve Mace at Aladdin Insulation, 636-947-8000. That's 636-947-8000, or visit our website at trueteam.com. That's TRU team.com. Aladdin Insulation is an equal opportunity employer. 636-947-8000, Aladdin Insulation.
How do you choose funeral services? How do you decide? For many families, the convenience of a combination facility is the perfect choice. For your loved one, make Valhalla that choice. The funeral home at Valhalla is placed in the middle of their pristine 285-acre cemetery, so there are no loud noises, no busy streets, and no lengthy funeral processions. The complete services available at Valhalla are designed for one family at a time, so everyone gets the main chapel, and there is no attendant to direct you to a certain parlor room. Everything you need, including funeral services, burial, grave markers, and flowers, are available at Valhalla. Call 314-721-4900 anytime to learn how Valhalla can help you plan for tomorrow. Valhalla Funeral Chapel, Cremation, and Cemetery. 314-721-4900. Make Valhalla the destination location for all your funeral needs. Online at ValhallaFunerals.net.
Homes are selling very quickly in today's St. Louis market. Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group is here. How should sellers prepare their home to get the highest price?
Aligning with us, they'll receive the highest online exposure to attract the most buyers. And our 18 years of experience sets us apart when negotiating in a hot seller's market.
What makes the buying or selling experience different with your group?
We have one of the highest selling real estate groups with a team of specialists dedicated to a client's individual needs, such as staging and design, marketing, and buyer specialists.
Great.
Our team meets with clients to help stage and strategize to ensure your home appeals to a wide variety of buyers. We even pre-market your home.
Okay, so how do you use technology to help the seller?
We can communicate directly with our clients through iPad minis that are preloaded with various apps, giving them the most up-to-date information right at their fingertips.
That's Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group and co-owner of Keller Williams Realty West. She's a real estate expert on Channel 5, and she's with us weekly on KTRS. She's online at KathyHelbigGroup.com or 314-276-SOLD.
How would you like to try America's best-selling home fitness program free for 30 days? You've probably heard of P90X. It's the number one fitness program designed to get you in amazing shape. Elite trainer Tony Horton shows you the same body sculpting techniques he uses with his pro athlete and movie star clients. Now you can try it free at MyFreeBod.com. The program that I'm talking
about. We interrupt this offer to bring you an even better free offer. Beachbody just launched a new digital video service called Beachbody On Demand. For a limited time, you can use it free for 30 days. So you can try not just P90X, but also Insanity, P90X3, Turbo Fire, Brazil Butt Lift, over $4,000 worth of programming free. Stream it on your tablet, PC, or smartphone. It's the best offer in the history of fitness. Now back to your regularly scheduled commercial.
You can get the hot, sexy bod you've dreamed of. For your free 30-day trial, go to MyFreeBod.com. That's MyFreeBod.com. MyFreeBod.com.
Membership fees apply after 30-day trial. Cancel anytime.
Advance Auto Parts knows what makes a car guy a car guy. It's the commitment to maintain an engine through the 300,000-mile mark. It's burning the midnight oil to finish a job most guys would rather hand off. It's loyalty, and it's why there's speed perks from Advance Auto Parts. Spend $100 and get $20 off your next qualified purchase. No cards, no points, no nonsense. Advance Auto Parts, for guys who love getting under the hood.
See store to sign up. Visit speedperks.com for details.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, thank you very much. First Community Credit Union is where I bank. It's where I do all my banking. I think you know that. That's been the case for about the last 8 years or so. I'm inviting you to join me and join the thousands, tens of thousands of us who do all our banking there. You may want to start with your car loan, and here's why. They'll give you $100. And it's not one of those jump through six hoops and disclaim. It's just they'll give you $100. If you move your car loan from somewhere else to First Community Credit Union, there you go. And it's not like you're going to be paying some penalty for doing it. Oh, your car loan's going to go up. In fact, there's a very good chance it'll go down, because they're famous for their rates and how competitive they are with their rates. They're also the exclusive sponsor of the yard sale on Saturday morning with Paul Warner. Every Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock, one sponsor and only one. And that's why for 2 hours you get a lot of stuff being sold, not a lot of commercials, because there's one sponsor four times an hour, First Community Credit Union. I don't know why you bank where you bank, and you probably don't either. You probably, honest to goodness, don't even have a good reason. It's just, well, that's where we set up a checking account years ago. And we just, that's not a good reason. They don't deserve your business. First Community Credit Union will deserve your business. So stop in. Have some free popcorn. If you're not a member, just say, hey, it's okay. The large morning show in the afternoon said it was okay. Get some information, and you can do that at 42 locations, because with 42 locations, they are the biggest credit union in the St. Louis area. First Community Credit Union, you can find out more when you stop in or at firstcommunity.com. We got a little time. No, yes?
Maybe a minute or so.
Maybe a minute or so. I'll do a couple other quick things, and then maybe we'll do some of these another time. But this race is irritating me, because I'm tired of how much we're having to hear about it, and how they make it seem like every debate at this point is so important. It's not. It's a year away. A couple other things, though, I think you'll find interesting. The Herbert Hoover, not to be confused with the FBI guy, J. Edgar, he was a cross-dresser. He wore women's clothes.
Yeah.
Herbert Hoover, the president, gave his White House servants strict orders to hide from him when he passed by. And if you didn't and you looked at him, you could be fired. That sounds like Barbara Streisand.
Or Barry Manilow. Wasn't Barry Manilow like that, too?
Yes.
I think he is, yeah.
Now, the other, you know, one hound or coxman, one of the others, was Lyndon Baines Johnson. He didn't have the charisma that Kennedy did, but this guy, according to credible accounts, was always looking for it. And he referred in the White House to the women he slept with as his harem. And he had a buzzer installed that rang inside the Oval Office so the Secret Service could warn him if Lady Bird was coming. Now, this is going to sound terrible, but did you ever see that Lady Bird Johnson?
Oh, yes.
Like Hillary, you kind of give him a pass.
But you kind of look at him, too. So.
Yeah, oh, he was no prize.
No.
LBJ.
No.
He was no prize. We only had one bachelor president. Do you know who it was?
Oh, no.
James Buchanan.
Oh.
Ulysses S. Grant smoked at least 20 cigars a day. And after his brilliant war victory, a nation of well-wishers sent him over 10,000 cigars. And you know how Ulysses S. Grant died? Throat cancer.
Oh. Yeah.
Dwight Eisenhower had an affair with his wartime driver, Kay Summersby. This is a known fact. She later wrote a book called Past Forgetting, My Love Affair with Dwight D. Eisenhower, who she claims was impotent.
Ooh.
And then last and not least, because this guy's the king, Jack Kennedy, they said had the most active extramarital sex life of any president. He slept with Marilyn Monroe, Jane Mansfield, Audrey Hepburn, Angie Dickinson, a stripper named Blaze Starr, Marlene Dietrich, many other women, including White House staffers, secretaries, stewardesses, campaign workers, strippers, and acquaintances of some of his best male friends. The FBI taped sounds of him and Inga Ofrad making love.
Oh, my goodness.
So for those of you who love Kennedy, and you can still love him, but if you doubt any of this, no. It is absolutely a fact. John Kennedy was a, well, there's several words for it, a peahound, a coxman, whatever you want to call him. Maybe more on this stuff later. I have to talk about American Equity Mortgage, and I'm happy to do it because this is the single longest-running advertiser we have, 23 and a half years. American Equity Mortgage is one of many, many mortgage companies. They're all over the place. You even hear them all over this radio station. And what's interesting is I think you hear a lot of them on this radio station because of American Equity Mortgage. So how about a round of applause thanking all the other mortgage companies for their business because they're only here trying to compete. Good luck. Good luck competing with a company like American Equity Mortgage that has made such an impact, not only in St. Louis, but all over the country. They're headquartered here. They started here 23 and a half years ago, but they're all over the country now. And there's a reason for that. They've shown people that they can work fast and diligently and get you the best rate possible for that mortgage. And they've also educated people about how to use the equity in your house to borrow money the smart way. And that has saved lots of people lots of money. People who were making minimum credit card payments for years, they basically said, hey, stop that. Don't do that. You're a homeowner. You don't have to do that. There's a much better way to get this mess paid off, this credit card debt, and they've shown people how to do it. And it's a whole lot less expensive and just smarter. If you want to know more, they have a website. It's AmericanEquity.com. And yes, they have a phone number. And you